Hi, welcome. My name is Lynette Reed. I'll be joined shortly by Rob Cameron, my co-presenter. So today we're going to talk about adapting your app for Xbox One and TV. So how can you easily do it? There are two common scenarios for UWP coming to Xbox. I'm going to talk about first scenario one. Say you have an amazing app that you've created in XAML or web for your phone. You're happy as a clam. You think it's the greatest thing ever. Now you want to actually bring it over to desktop and to Xbox. So what themes should you be considering? One, when designing for desktop, more space means more area for content, and density really is your friend. So take advantage of it, make your app more productive, and allow more content to shine in the appropriate manner that it should. Multi-inputs. It really does mean that there's more things to consider, but honestly, it means that you have more ways you can have people interact with your content. And as you know, we have the mouse, keyboard, voice, touch, pen and ink, and now we're introducing having the ability to use gamepad to plug right into your desktop and use. Padding, space, and consistency, oh my. Our team internally has been working really hard on trying to find consistency and alignment and padding in our apps. And we will be announcing and producing and sharing this with you on dev.windows.com, WAC design. For Xbox, space really is your friend. Think less density, much like mobile. So laid back, lean, casual experiences mean less on the screen. Legibility really is key. So make sure that people can see what you're displaying on your app. As you see here, here's an existence or comparison showing text that is much smaller and text that is actually optimal for the experience. So when you're actually designing and creating your app, please make sure that you keep the size at 24 pixels or above when it's rendering out full size. So for XAML, designing at 200%, that means you want to make sure that your type is no smaller than 15 effective pixels. Or if you're designing in web at 150%, you want to make sure that it's no smaller than 18 effective pixels. Keep it simple, reduce the clicks to just under 6, and people will be happy as anything. And really do know your place. It's important to make sure that focus is identifiable for all users when they're going through your experience. If you do this, they will be uber happy with you. And honestly, most importantly, respect the safe area and always think about broadcast safe colors. In here, you can see that it shows in the diagram that colors, when brought in through broadcast safe, it's important to think of the clipping of it. So make sure you're already pre-doing that before you actually have it go to a TV. And then on the right, as you see, here's an example of our safe area. And we have guidance around how to actually set that up for a XAML app and also a web app as well. And as you can see, that's why it's important to think of your broadcast safe colors as well as your safe area. Now I'm going to pass it off to Rob for him to continue to talk about coding.
Okay, thanks Lynette for the great overview on designing for Xbox and all the considerations. As Lynette mentioned, my name is Rob Cameron and I'm going to cover here in this section the coding aspects of how to implement what Lynette had just covered. So for desktop, it's pretty easy. You know what you're doing there. You've been coding for the desktop for a while. Desktop apps have been around since Windows and GUI operating systems have been around. So it's coding you know. However, for Xbox, it's a bit new platform. And so when you think about Xbox, you think about controller, Kinect. You know, do I have to do something special for my app to get it to work? And the answer is, by default, you do not. Part of the Windows 10 Universal Windows Platform promise is that if you target the UWP platform, that it's guaranteed to run cross-device on Windows 10 without you having to do anything special for the sort of the basic experience of having your app function on that platform. But really, for Xbox One and for all of our UWP devices, you do want to tailor to get the best possible experience for your end user. So with that, let's bring in the demo and I'm gonna go through the code and show you how to implement those best practices. So it's a sample from the XAML team that is releasing at build, and it basically shows the best practice on how the start menu works or should, you know, will work as you in a responsive manner. So as you go to a mobile size, the start menu goes full screen and it, you know, just goes to just a hamburger icon. And then as you go a little bigger, it pops out to the sort of the full size there. And if you go wider, it goes into like the wide display mode and you might see a mail. So it's a great little sample that I grabbed. I modified it. I threw a few buttons in here just to show controller navigation. And so I'm going to, now what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna stop it here and I'm gonna run it on the dev kit. So a few things you need to do to set up your product for the dev kit. You're gonna wanna go into properties for your project and go to debugging. And when you switch to remote machine, you're gonna want the IP address for your dev kit. Now, I'm gonna show you real quick where to find that. So if I go to settings, all settings, go to developer settings, it's gonna be the console IP. So we entered the console IP into the remote machine for that item. And then you're gonna wanna make sure that Windows is not selected and that universal unencrypted protocol is selected. And that makes your product ready to deploy to the Xbox. You will also get a PIN prompt on first run. And so when you do get the PIN prompt, which when you hit the remote machine button, you'll get a PIN prompt in Visual Studio, and you're gonna be able to find the answer to that PIN prompt by going to Dev Home in Settings. So if you go to Dev Home, you see this little option at the bottom where it says Pair with Visual Studio. And so you click Pair with Visual Studio, you get that code. Leave the code on screen. You enter the code for the PIN prompt when you deploy to remote. And then once you do that, your Visual Studio, your machine is paired up with Xbox One for a little bit of security. But really it just helps if you have a room full of dev kits or you have other developers with dev kits, you're not colliding and stepping on each other's dev kits. Okay, so that's a little bit of setup for developing for Xbox One. Now let me click remote machine and we'll bring up this sample on Xbox One. And what you're gonna see here is once it loads, it's gonna be a little bit washed out. And so this sort of goes back to the color safe stuff that Lynette was talking about. You'll see that when it pops up. There we go, you can barely read the text. So what I'm gonna do here is I'm gonna change my background color to a different value that is color safe for Xbox One. And so now you can see the app on Xbox One. I can navigate, and so you're seeing I'm getting the mode where controller is enabled. And as I move around in the Xbox, it sort of works with the controls. It's the engineering team's efforts to enable this functionality within the platform by hooking into the key codes for the controller. Now again, this kind of goes back to my comment previously where I mentioned that if you design for accessibility on a desktop and you make your app fully navigable with the arrow keys, the enter key, the spacebar key, and the back key, your app will be ready for Xbox One. And in this case, it's a very simple demo, but in a more complex app, that's kind of the way to think about it. But if I wanted to activate the menu, it all is enabled for a controller. Okay, great. Now, I've not done anything for title safe areas, so let me go into the code here. And I have a few things commented out to save us a little bit of typing. And so what's happening is we're getting the default on the PC of use visible. And so what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna uncomment this section of code and I'm gonna enable it to tell you to use the core window. And so when I do this, you're gonna see that the UI seems like it has a little bit more space to breathe. It's gonna use the full space available for the screen. All right, so as you can see that the border areas that were over visible before are gone and the app is just a little bit bigger. It's a little bit hard to tell just by looking at it, but trust me, the APIs do work and we're basically in control of how much we allocate for title safe area. Now, I'm gonna go back to the code. Now, the last thing I wanted to show you mention is that if you wanted to turn off the scaling, you basically would make this API call and run the app, and essentially the app will run at the resolution that it's designed. For this particular application, you don't see much of a difference because it's designed at about the right size already, but that is the API call to make for this particular demo. All right, great. So let's just cover a summary what I just went over in my coding demo. So there's the default experience I mentioned before, and then there's the premium experience. For the default experience on Xbox One, you will have mouse cursor emulation. So what that means is that it's sort of like if you ever used the web browser on Xbox One, you're getting that cursor that you can use to click buttons and interact with list boxes and whatnot within the app. By default, you will get the 200% scale factor. And the platform will either pillowbox and letterbox your app, sort of squeeze it into the visual area of the TV and automatically for you by default. Now, as for the premium experience and what our existing Xbox One app partners do is, they by default have controller support so that when a user is using a controller, all of our existing Xbox One users are probably most familiar with controller interaction with their app. So you can actually turn off the mouse cursor and instead do everything via the controller for navigation. Now, one of the things to keep in mind is that if you design for accessibility on the desktop, where essentially you can navigate your entire app with the keyboard using the arrow keys, either space or enter and the back key to sort of navigate throughout your app, that really primes your application to work great on Xbox One. And so for the first bullet there under premium, you can set the require pointer mode to when requested. Now what that suggests is that you can optionally enable pointer mode when you are building your application, and that is actually the case. And so you can set it to application requires pointer mode when requested, and then for say the map control, it actually may be better to use the mouse emulation mode. So within the XAML around the map control, you can add the commands for and re-enabling the mouse pointer when the map is in focus. So from a design standpoint, you have two options here for the premium experience. One is to design at 540p, and then with the 200% scale factor, the UX will be 1080p. However, if your app is already at the 1080p design size and you don't want to redesign it, you can turn off the scale factor with the API to do so, as I showed in my demo. And then finally, and actually you can see the final part of my demo is the bullets here for the premium section is that you can make this API call to set it to use core window. And what that will do is that will take off the automatic adjustment for title safe area. And the reason why you might want to do that is your app may already have some sort of white space around all of the edges. And maybe you have more than necessary the white space to account for title safe areas. So you don't want the platform to actually squeeze your app in further and make your UI actually smaller on a large screen. Okay, so that is my first demo. I'm gonna kick it off over to Lynette, where she'll cover the scenario two.
Thanks so much, Rob, for kicking off for scenario two. So let's get into it. So say you make an amazing XAML or web app for desktop, and you, once again, are super happy about what you've actually created. And now you want to actually bring it over to phone and Xbox. What are the things you should be considering? So one, once again, when designing for phone, you got to think of the fact that it's a single-person device. So it really is a personal experience, and it's going to be personally used. Give them some room. Remember that there's an app bar when the actual keyboard is invoked, so make sure you're accommodating the space for that as well. And, because it's the phone, you get twice the inputs, which kind of is twice the interactive fun. As you can see here demonstrating, it is the touch and the voice, of course. And remember, it's a small screen, so that means you're really going to have to think about the fact you're actually going with the drill down method throughout the experience, so just make sure you're accommodating for that as well. For Xbox, just apply what you've learned today, and you're basically all set. It's just that easy. Okay, now I'm going to kick it back over to Rob for him to demonstrate a little bit more encoding.
Okay, thanks, Lynette, for the handoff. So again, when coding, keep on trucking for the desktop, as I mentioned before, you know how to do that. And then for Xbox, what are the considerations? So for this particular demo, what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna focus on JavaScript. As you know, we support the web programming model within Windows 10 and have since Windows 8. And just wanna cover the new sets of libraries that we make available to JavaScript developers that will work both in a web app where it's encapsulating JavaScript, HTML, and CSS, as well as host the web apps that'll apply there too. And also the web view in XAML has greatly been improved and is really, really a first class sort of control in a web experience within a XAML application. So with that, let's get coding. I have an instance of Visual Studio here. Now, what I wanted to cover first was I wanted to mention that, with the Windows 10 platform and Xbox One, Xbox One previously, or the Xbox One today with the previous platform, is a JavaScript development model only. XAML is new to the platform, and as you saw in my previous demo, the XAML team has done a lot of great work to enable Xbox One functionality for you and to minimize your work. Now, on the website, we sort of had a lot of limitations on what libraries you could use and scripts you could use, and we had compatibility. Now we have the Microsoft Edge browser, which is highly compatible with Google Chrome. And so with the Edge browser and with the work done by the browser team to make the browser really secure and solid, we sort of are now enabling you to build web applications that within for Windows that can use any particular framework. So if your favorite JavaScript framework is jQuery or Angular or JS or React.js or Backbone.js or any whatever your favorite JavaScript query is, you can bring that application to the Windows platform a couple of ways. One way is via a hosted web app, where you can essentially configure your manifest in Visual Studio and with that set the URL, enable WinRT for your hosted web app, and basically host your app from the web. And there are other sessions that cover hosted web app in detail, but I just wanted to mention that is definitely an option for Xbox One as well. So what we're going to focus in on is actually building a web app that runs within the app model, and all the sort of the JavaScript and the CSS and HTML is packaged up with the app itself. And you may ask, well, that's great that we can use these third-party frameworks, but they don't really have supports per se directly for Xbox One. Like, imagine a list box with a controller. How do we work with a list box? When we put in a text area within Xbox One, and we have an HTML page. How do we interact that with a controller? And so what we've done is we've built this little framework. It's on GitHub as TV Helpers, and within the TV Helpers frameworks, we have the TV.js. So I'm just going to drill into the TV.js framework here real quick, and let me go find that in my code directory for GitHub. And go into the TV.js. So we have some examples here I wanted to show you. So what we've done is we've built sort of directional navigation, which you can think of as controller navigation. We have a media player that is built that has no dependencies on WinJS. So I should mention that all of these scripts here will work with any framework. So none of these scripts have dependencies on WinJS. However, if your existing app is WinJS, you can take these scripts to enable Xbox One functionality, just like you can with AngularJS or React.js, et cetera. So we have the media player. A scroll viewer is essentially some JavaScript code that enables you to navigate a text area with the controller, and I'll show you that in a second. And then search box is the search box controller that was popular on Xbox One. We've ported it over to the desktop, and so you can use it here. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna go into these examples, and the examples are just basic HTML pages. So I have this basic web page, and I'm using the arrow keys, and I'm using the arrow keys to navigate this UI here. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to grab my Xbox. I'm going to try not to break anything, and I'm going to plug the controller into my PC. And so let's say I don't have my dev kit handy with me, but I still want to code for Xbox One. I'm using the controller to navigate around on my screen for the basic example. And so let's jump out of here and let's go to, there's a number of other examples that you can put in here, like how to deal with iframes for the directional navigation, a modal dialogue. Modifying focus programmatically, what does the code need to do? If you sort of are in a scenario where you want to force the right, moving the stick right, forcing it into a particular direction, that sample demonstrates how to write JavaScript to ensure that when you hit the right arrow key, the focus goes to the control that you want it to go to. Media player control, let me bring that up. I'll bring up the basic player. And so here's this media player control. It works really well. It scales out nicely for mobile. It'll scale up for desktop. And the beautiful thing is that this will work cross-browser as well. So you could build this in your hosted web app and bring that hosted web app into your Windows app and use the same control there as well. And let me go to the, we have support for custom themes, markers, media element adapter, and remember that on the Windows platform, Media Foundation is really the technology that handles the streaming. So this player just wraps the video tag, the HTML5 video tag, and the video tag is just a wrapper around of sort of the surface area that the Media Foundation framework plays to. So this will support MPEG Dash, say, with PlayReady DRM, no problem. All right, let's go back here. Let's go to the scroll viewer. So I mentioned what the scroll viewer does. I'll bring it up. And so here we have the scroll viewer navigating the buttons. And I go to this list. Now notice when I go in a list, if I try to go up or down, it sort of jumps focus over. Now I'm going to go in the list. I'm going to hit the A button. Now I can scroll the text with the controller because I've sort of given it focus. This is an existing UI interaction on Xbox One today. But now I'm going to hit the back key, and now I'm back to navigation mode where I can get around with the app. So you can see how this controller really can help you out if you have like a list, like a large description for an item, and you want to sort of let the user be able to read the whole description without having to put it on the entire screen. So that's the scroll viewer control. And then finally, I'm going to go into the search box. So I'll bring that up. So this is search box control, lets you sort of navigate the letters and select them. And it's doing a little query. The query changed, you get the event. So it's, you know, search, especially in media, but shopping or other types of applications is really popular. And this control gives you a great little piece of functionality that you can use for search in your Windows app to tailor the experience for the best experience for the users. So what I'm going to do now is I'm actually will switch to Visual Studio. I'm going to bring up a project that is a, let me go navigate to it again, go to my code. So here's a web view. I'm going to run it on the remote Xbox machine. All right, there we go. We'll go to settings, all settings, a little reminder, dev tools, and we will put the console IP in here. All right. Now we should get deployment, no problem. Now while it's deploying, let me go back to my my code sample and jump into the little bit of code as it's coming up on Xbox One. There it is. So there is the basic sample. And once I get focus, I give it focus. Oh, we go back. We'll go back to it. All right, let me do this. I'll switch that back over to local machine so you can see here real quick. So back on my PC, and then if I give it focus, if I give it focus with the mouse, now I can use the arrow keys, of course, as I mentioned before, but here, once the controller engages, you can see I'm using a controller to navigate around the UI in a web control host within a XAML application. All right, now for my last demo here, let me bring up a web app just to show the functionality that we have. Go back to the samples. So I'm just going to run this one on my on the Xbox One. So run on Xbox One. Let's get it deployed over there. And then as I, now what I'm running into is I'm not getting focus. And the reason why I'm not getting controller focus is because I'm missing the code to set focus. And this is a super great example from Lynette's perspective is that every time you load a page on your apps, you always want to ensure that you set focus as one of the first things you do. I am doing it in the web view, but it's not taking, so I'll talk to the product team. You know, we are in beta. But this is the is sort of a great example of how when you do when you build the app, you know what, actually? That's true for the web view. Now, actually, for this particular demo, what I've done is I've sort of commented out the code for the controller navigation. So what you actually saw there was that I don't have the code. So if you look here, I have no reference in my head section for the directional navigation. So let me go ahead and go into TVJS. I'm going to grab the script. I'm going to drop it in the top. Now let's try it on the remote machine one more time. Now, this time it actually will work. And as you see, focus kind of came in off the left from the machine, so it kind of worked well. So here's a great example of how the focus will go. And that is the end of my demos. Okay, so as I just demonstrated, JavaScript developers have all the tools to bring their JavaScript applications over to Xbox One for that premium experience. And in summary, again, as before, the default is the same. The main difference is that for JavaScript, as Elena had mentioned earlier in our presentation, we have the 150% scale factor for web apps versus 200% for XAML. The main reason for the difference is that the browser already scales at 150 because most websites or many websites, the majority of websites, are designed at 720p. And so we felt that it was important to keep that ability of a 720p website to be scaled properly to 1080p, particularly for the hosted web app scenario. For the premium experience, the APIs, the navigator is a top-level object within the object model, just like with Window on the web app programming model. So just like you can get to the Windows runtime from your directly from your JavaScript app, regardless of which framework that you're using, you can also get to the navigator to enable the keyboard emulation mode for Xbox One. Again, if you have two options here with JavaScript as well. You can build cross-device family and design a 720p and then have your application to scale properly for desktop, phone, or Windows. Or for Xbox, if you already have a 1080p website, you can disable the scaling. If you look in the notes of the slides, I kind of have all the API calls that flesh these out. And so you'll see the, you can do it two ways. You can do the Windows runtime call that you use for XAML, or you can use CSS to scale the page back to 100% essentially and turn off the scale factor from 150. It's also same for title safe area adjustment. You can make the same call using the lowercase JavaScript notation for the same Windows runtime API call, and just to set it to use core window instead of the use visible window. If your web app already accounts for the title safe area and has enough white space around the edges. And so those are the considerations when you're looking at the default versus premium experience for when you're building a web app for Xbox One. And so from the takeaway for this presentation is apply what you've learned in your XAML or web app when you're bringing your application to Xbox One, and you can build a premium app experience that is the same as what you get on Xbox One today with the media apps for your particular app and application domain. Thank you very much for watching us today, and thanks to Lynette, my co-presenter, for doing a great job of covering the design aspects and considerations for Xbox One.